So you have to keep in mind point of view sometimes. And who writes history?
The winners.
That's right. All my trainings, you're remembering everything that I've
I'm your star student, dude.
Welcome to Joy Tactics, the podcast dedicated to all things joyful, joyous, and meeting as many celebrities as humanly possible. Hosted by Eric Rahill, Nate Veroni, and Jack Bensinger. Enjoy.
Wow. And then there were two. How interesting.
Wow. This is, I mean, are you scared right now, Eric?
Well, I'm
scared. To talk to me one-on-one for the first time? You will never, you always want your little fucking shepherd, Jack, to protect you this whole time from me. And now you got to face me one-on-one, finally.
Well, you think I'm afraid, but I'm actually not. I'm not afraid to be chatting even more on this thing. I love talking, and I'm not afraid of you, man. I can't, and I haven't listened to the ones that were just you and Jack, but people seem to like them, I think. But I think people are going to be blown away at our dynamic in this. I think people are going to love it.
This is going to be revolutionary, I think.
Is this the Monday episode? Yeah, right?
This is the Monday episode. Oh, happy Monday, everybody.
Dude, happy Monday, everyone. An amazing week. Halloween is how far away?
Yo, it's just coming up.
It's within 2 weeks from now. That's amazing. It's amazing news.
Do you have a costume picked out at all?
I don't. Maybe I'll be Pumbaa. Because Nate and I went to our friend Kate's Disney bounding party. Did we explain what bounding is on this?
I don't know if we have.
So Disney bounding,
which it took me so long to figure out what actually was. I don't know why. Like, it was described to me like four times, and I could not wrap my head around it. But go ahead and try to describe it to the people.
Okay, so Disney bounding is something that well-adjusted adults do. Major fans of going to Disneyland do when they go to the park. So you can't dress up as an actual character from Disney when you go to a Disney theme park, because the people that work there are afraid that you'll fool a child into thinking that you're actually Minnie Mouse or Belle from Beauty and the Beast, one of the best movies they made, or whatever, Gaston, which is probably what people think I'm him without even dressing up. You know what I'm saying? So what they do, a way around this, a loophole through not being able to dress up as like the characters, is by getting to the boundary of that character without crossing it. So people will, if they're Buzz Lightyear, they can't put on the actual Buzz Lightyear costume. So they wear like a white shirt with neon green shoes and like purple shorts or something, or like in like a little Buzz Lightyear hat or something. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Am I explaining it right?
You are actually very well, I would say. And I don't think kids are going to be confused by that. Cause to me, a kid, if I can tap into the childlike mind, which I do often, and I think it's necessary for being creative, is to get in touch with that part, that inner child. The inner child in me is saying, why is it wrong that there's 17 Minnie Mouses, you know, and I'm seeing multiple ones in them? That sounds awesome to me, is that there's many different types of characters. You see different races of characters, you know, all across the park. They want to it's like the Santa thing. They want to keep Santa white, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Santa, and the beauty of having different Santas, that you can see Santa as a different races, different genders. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're missing out. And I think Disney could, learn a thing or two. Mm-hmm. Overall,
we need an alcoholic Lumiere who's off about 18 Disneyland Bud Lights, eating a couple of churros, fucked up, falling over, but looking like that candle. That's the danger. Is that these park goers who are dressed up will damage the brand by being too fucked up or saying something racist or something evil. So they're just trying to protect these characters. Because keep in mind, man, for these companies, these characters are their business, okay?
Right.
Keeping those characters pure is in their best interest monetarily, and what runs the world that we live in, Nate?
Well, money is what I learned.
That's
from,
right. That's what I taught you.
Yeah. You're about to release. That's very short, by the way.
And it's a pamphlet, way too expensive. But it's hella expensive. It's a $2,000 pamphlet that will change your perspective on this existence.
Made in Canva.
Yeah, don't not Canva. So, speaking of books and pamphlets,
we need to describe at the party.
At the party. We both show up. Some people put a lot of effort into it, and they really. And by the way, those people also got a little too close to the boundary, I thought.
Yeah.
Where I was like, if I was a child, I would be confused by this. Whatever the girl version of Woody in Toy Story.
I would say you didn't even get close to the boundary.
Okay, this is what I want to bring up, because I immediately get there. Nate's wearing a white shirt, slightly white pants, white shoes, and sunglasses, okay? And he sees me, who's wearing a black shirt, brown pants, black shoes, and a pink hat, and says, I didn't put any effort into it. And I'm looking at you like, why don't you look in a mirror, dude, and stop throwing out these accusations? I was clearly Pumbaa.
I just wanted to have a good time, too. That is the thing.
I know.
I was out at a friend's party. I just wanted to cut loose, and all of a sudden, you're bringing drama up in this piece, dude.
I was respectful of your costume. I came into that with respect, and you came in disrespectful off the bat. What the fuck are you? Clearly, the pink is for his nose and tongue. Pink mouth. Pumbaa got a especially pink mouth from what I remember. Oops. And I didn't have a brown shirt, so I wore black, which could serve as his hair. He had black hair. Brown for his body and black for his black hooves. So to me, it makes extra sense.
Yeah. It is funny because I barely tried too. I was Eve from Wall-E. So I barely tried. As well, probably put in the equal amount of effort into the costume, but I was just ragging on you for what you did, and I actually want to apologize right now. And you're surprised by that, aren't you? You're surprised.
Literally, I was tuning out because I was just, you know, ready for you to blow right past your mistake, what you did to me. But I didn't.
I'm just gonna man up and just say I'm sorry and admit that I was fucked up and wrong about that. And a lot of people can't even get to that point. Mentally,
they're too. Forgiveness is a crazy mindset to arrive at. To get to forgiveness sometimes is harder than climbing Mount Everest. You know what I mean? Forgiveness mountain. Wow. If I could forgive, I would, but I don't have that. That's just not in me. I've never forgiven anyone.
I know.
Not something we do in my family. But, you know, I don't think animals can forgive. Could an animal forget?
No. They don't have any concept of
grudges.
They don't even know.
Except for crows. Crows remember.
Well, crows are different, man. They're basically humans, I think. I think they're as smart as humans, but they're just trapped in a dumb body. You know what I'm saying? We have smart bodies. But they wish that if they had thumbs, they'd be, you know, making Dubai crow type cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. You would not want to fuck with a crow with a thumb. Oh, hell no.
No, you wouldn't. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Man.
Well, we're talking about books today.
Yeah.
How have we not? How have we not talked about this? Are you sure we haven't had a whole episode on this, on books?
We might have. If we have, this is called Books. A revisitation.
Okay.
So, for those who don't, let's go back to this is what I like to do with these topics. Let's go back to the beginning, right? Because in the beginning, we didn't even have vocal cords, okay? Or if we did, they were so rudimentary that you could barely make good sounds. It was just grunts and screams. Then the vocal cords develop. Uh-oh. and our brains develop too, and we're able to start forming words. And through those words, we start telling
stories.
Stories, that's right. Oftentimes around a fire, sometimes on a hunt for a mammoth or whatever. And then eventually we figured out, you know, we could write down these, we could tell even more crazier stories if we could remember the beginnings and middles by
writing all this stuff. Can I stop you right there?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Something tells me if you were on an ancient hunt, you would kind of weigh down the hunt, the, you know, like you would.
I'd probably like immediately get a tummy ache. Sorry guys, I got to go back to the camp where all the ladies are.
Something tells me you were dead weight in the hunt, ancient style hunt. You were just chilling. Making too many noises.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know. Who do you think you would have been an amazing hunter? I think you would have been bait.
I think I would have, but I don't know. I feel like a lot of men would think that they would be a great hunter.
I'd like to see you throwing a spear.
I would go no weapons out in the field, and I would
choke out the mammoth. With your hands.
I would choke out the alpha male, you know, saber tooth, and I'd like get it all riled up, and I would go one on one with that shit and respect it, because we use tools to hunt animals. That's not fair.
I know, dude. You know? Well, I want that to stop now. if you're gonna eat an animal, you got to take it out
if you choke out a lion, like one of those animals that people are like pissed off that you hunt. Uh-huh. If you kill that shit with your bare hands, go ahead, take it.
Yeah, go for it. Literally. Go for it. But by the way, let's see if you can.
Right, right.
I feel that, like, if I were to do that to a tiger or a lion or something, here's the problem with me. Oh, there's Muffy. Here's the problem with me. Those damn things are so cute that the minute I tackle that thing and I get my body wrapped around it, I'm kissing it on the head. I'm kissing it on the ears. I'm petting it. I'm like, you know what I mean? I don't think, even if it was trying to bite me.
You would have been dead weight, and you would have been, and in your past life, you were like mauled by many different animals that had, because you thought they were cute, and but they just wanted to harm you. And attack you, like the grizzly man that documentary.
Yeah, I remember that. Poor grizzly man. Jesus Christ. So what we're saying is that what's going on? Am I being FaceTimed? Hello?
Hello?
Something very crazy just happened. I don't know. I don't understand what my phone's doing. Jesus Anyways, Christ, what man. We're saying is that what were small stories just told between people eventually were written down into word form, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, at the beginning, they were just doing maybe a page, right? Here's the story, beginning, middle, and
or
end.
Or a tablet.
There weren't even pages
back there, yeah.
And that shit was hard to carve, but eventually they became knowledgeable about ink, different inks. And mm-hmm. I wish I could have been there for that to see when they first discovered ink.
But before they had to use a hammer. Chisel. Like, what was your hieroglyphs per minute? Like, there was.
Right.
It must have taken years to write a little short story. You know?
And I bet those were the fucking weirdos. Oh, let's get, I don't know, whatever.
The Egyptian Mesopotamian name for, short right, story writers.
The Mesopotamian odd style guy. To be writing all that shit down. Get him over here. He can't really have a good conversation, but he's quick as fuck, right? You know, getting this shit down in chisel form. Right. But what I'm saying is eventually, what was just one page at a time, they would add multiple pages to them. And by that point, when you have multiple pages and it's a story, that's what's called a book. Right?
Wow.
At least from what I understand a book to be. Now, there's many different styles of books, right? Let's go through, what do we do? Go through the genres? I mean, this is what people need.
Sure.
There's fiction, right? What does that mean to you, Nate?
that means to me personally something that is not real. Okay.
Well, that's what's so interesting.
And I know what you would say, and I know exactly what you're going to say, is that sometimes these fantasy novels, and which is another genre, but it also falls within the larger genre of fiction, sometimes these are more real than real life.
That's
and can
what
feel
I'm
that
saying.
Way.
That's what, yes.
Which I think sometimes, is pathetic for people that think that, because it is fantasy, and
right.
elves aren't real, Eric.
Well, maybe you've never read Artemis Fowl, dude. Maybe you, I don't think you've developed that type of bond with a fictional character, probably because you didn't read it closely enough. I remember reading Artemis Fowl and being like, showing all the girls at school, like, yep, guess what I'm fucking reading? Gold Artemis Fowl. Then the sequel comes out. Yeah, this one's silver, and it's about a sort of genius child. It's about a genius, right? Remember those?
I didn't read that book, but I remember when they came. That was like after Harry Potter, right?
Oh, yeah, really? I think Artemis Fowl was after Harry Potter. But yeah.
They haven't made a movie on Artemis Fowl.
I think they did. I don't know if it went anywhere. Let's look that up.
Damn.
The Artemis Fowl.
That seems like a no-brainer franchise.
And that seems like
right?
something that we might want to
explore,
develop. Okay, I just typed in Artemis Fowl.
Could you play Artemis Fowl? Does the character look like you at all in the book?
I think, yeah. Dude, I mean, wow, okay. there was a trailer, and Colin Farrell was in it. Whoa, this came out in 2020. I didn't hear a peep about it.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
You're blown away.
I literally am.
Can't believe it.
I don't even remember this shit. Oh, he's a little boy.
Yeah, yeah. But you put on
just,
those type of glasses.
This is just
on
riding
me.
The fucking wave of. This is just Harry Potter. Like, get out of here, dude.
No, Artemis Fowl.
Get out of here with this
Harry
shit.
Potter. I'll just tell you that right now. Don't begin to compare. They're two wonderful worlds, but they are not similar.
What the fuck is this? The kid looked like he in Men in Black.
I know. He does look like he in Men in Black. But he's not. It's a very different story. So, okay, but yeah, that's fiction. It comes from the creation of inside someone's mind. But by the way, let me say this. So does an aluminum can. You know what I'm saying? It all starts where? In someone's head. In someone's head.
So interesting.
So interesting.
Okay, we have fiction. completely covered that sphere.
Yeah.
There's also a different type of book on the opposite polar spectrum of
nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
I know exactly what you're talking about before I even finish that sentence. Mm-hmm. Nonfiction. So to me, this means it happened in real life. But what's very interesting about that is everyone who's in a situation, everyone who was in World War II, everyone who was in Vietnam, had a very different perspective of it, right? So you have to keep in mind point of view sometimes. And who writes history?
The winners.
That's right. All my trainings, you're remembering everything that I've
I'm your star student, dude. I show up so early to class.
This is
like,
really heartening to see that you're keeping this all in and you wrote it down, thank God.
Because you're so violent. You have all these whips and shit if you don't, you know, remember
right.
what you said. It's like, it's not a good way to learn things, but I mean.
Well, that's how they did it up until about 1960. So and those kids all remembered things. They got to the moon with that style of teaching. Okay. Oh, we should go through. Okay. Fiction. What's your favorite fiction book, Nate?
That's a great question. I think it always goes back to in high school. I read, this is a book I flew through, is what the fuck was it called? It was a Michael Crichton book. Jurassic Park. Also a doctor.
Oh, was it the
also created ER.
Was
it
about
it
the
was
disease
called Timeline.
One? Timeline.
And I don't know, there's just something about that book that really, because I was like a person that I didn't give a fucking shit about books. I hated reading. And I might be like dyslexic too, so I think that has something to do with it. But I was just like, thought it was such a chore. And I remember my dad described a similar thing where he was like, man, I didn't care about books. And then he got this little book called The Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Back in the fucking 1960s or whatever when he was reading. And he said that shit just made him love books.
Blew his lid off, right.
And he loved it. And I think that, and this was like maybe freshman year of high school I got mm-hmm. this book. And I think I read it for like leisure too, which I never did. It wasn't a book report or anything like that. But it's just about like people going back in time. It's a really simple story.
It's about people going back in time?
Yeah, and it was made into a movie too, which I hadn't seen, and I think it sucked, but yeah, and we discussed Redwall. I really liked Redwall.
Redwall was so amazing.
We tapped into that shit a few episodes ago, but those were kind of the two things that I really liked as a kid. And Captain Underpants.
Dude, Captain Underpants was a major game changer.
The little pranksters, Harold and mm-hmm. whatever the guys. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So wait, what's your all-time number one book?
All-time number one. It's tough. I feel like there's books that I read like in school or books that I read because I was like, this makes me so fucking sick to read this shit. No one suspected me to be reading this. And actually, it makes me much smarter than everyone else. There's so many books that in hindsight, like I really don't think I understood any of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Reading, like, I remember I read that book, Steppenwolf. Have you read this book by Hermann Hesse? No. I remember I used to tell people that was that and The Stranger were my favorite books, like that Albert Camus book. And people would ask me what it was about, and I just can guarantee you I barely understood it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think in actuality, favorite book, I like some cringy fantasy stuff. I really like this book called The Lies of Locke Lamora. Have you ever read that?
Bro, are you serious, dude? Are you fucking kidding me?
That's a fantastical heist happens in that movie. I did love
the... And watch the sales on that book right now.
Oh, yeah, please.
The sales are about to go mm-hmm. fucking crazy. The Amazon, look at the Amazon rating score mm-hmm. of that. That's about to go... It just got the Eric Rahill bump.
The roof.
You should get a cut from that, from the author.
I really should. I liked, what else did I like? It's so hard to remember every book, you know what I mean?
You haven't read any books, dude. Just be honest.
Here's the deal. I swear to God, I've read over probably 10 books, and I fucking loved every single one of them.
And Jack has read one book.
Jack really has read one book. He read Ego is the Enemy.
This is not even a joke. Like, Jack is like, I've read like one book, like, I don't know, like in his adult life, I think.
Uh-huh. You know what book I did really, I really liked like books about war. So I did love like the things they carried.
Interesting.
Remember that guy, his name's like Tim O'Brien. And yeah. He was in Vietnam, but he this book is really good about that. I liked like All Quiet on the Western Front. I liked
You know, I'm in New Orleans right now, and there is the World War II Museum here.
Get out of town. Are you gonna go?
Yeah. I don't know. Should I tomorrow?
Yeah, you should go. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What time do you leave tomorrow?
I think I leave like later, so I could sneak it in. Don't you think there should be a Night at the Museum movie starring you at the World War II Museum?
Uh-huh, and I get to meet all the soldiers from both sides and understand everyone's perspectives. Sit-down conversations. I would love that, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in my adult life, I like sci-fi a lot.
And I love sci-fi. What's your favorite sci-fi book?
I really love Philip K. Dick is like my favorite.
I've never read
sci-fi
any
author.
Of that.
He's incredible. Like, he wrote all these books in like the 70s and, you know, mm-hmm. and they're so, like, he like, is writing about like FaceTiming in the 70s, you know, like these technologies that we all like have now, but it's like, how could he
take them for granted, dude?
Right. How could he have even like, you know, thought up that back then? You know, it's like the internet wasn't even, was like a fucking DARPA initiative, you know? It's like it's so interesting to me how these technologies come to fruition in the modern times, but they're written about so long ago. But I love Ubik is a really good one from him. But he did like Blade Runners based on a short story of him. A book of his, like Scanner Darkly, Minority Report is, there's just so many,
he would be raking it in right now if he was alive, all these damn movies.
I know.
I don't think we get
Darkly.
We just don't get, we don't get books like that anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, those minds from that great generation are leaving us very rapidly. And
I want to say he was in World War II.
Was he?
I don't know.
Was Kurt Vonnegut in World War II?
I think every author from like that era was just like, hey, that, you know, all those people, they had a life experience. This is what I'll say. They had something to write about. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
These men pre-1940s. And by the way, can I say this? I have a degree in English. Okay?
Yeah,
I know that's
yeah.
shocking to some people.
Yeah.
But that was my major in college. And did I pay attention or go to many classes? No. But it's a fact.
The first books I remember getting fully sucked into as a child before Harry Potter, I might may add. I know a lot of people are waiting for me to discuss that. You're not getting that on this one, okay? The first books that I really got into were the Narnia books. Yep. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Are you kidding me? The Magician's Nephew. Are you joking me? The Silver Chair. The Don Treader, Voyage of the Don Treader.
Damn, you know all the Caspian. What is it, C.S. Lewis?
Prince Caspian, C.S. Lewis, the Christian Goat.
Wow, extra Christian with it.
Oh, he was extra Christian. But I'm like, yo, can we be putting more portals into... Because essentially, he put a portal up in that thing, in that Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe book. And putting a child through a portal, that's an amazing thing to do. In a book, if you look at his Dark Materials, what's that?
I'm gonna clip just that sentence and put it on. Putting a child in a portal,
but throw a child in a portal. Like if we write a movie that has a child that goes through a portal and ends up in some other time or dimension, that thing's gonna sell. Okay, Bill and Ted, bring portals back. Portals to other places.
Some would say portals are lazy. Storytelling.
Who would say that?
You know what? Actually, I heard Conan O'Brien say this on his podcast.
That a portal is lazy storytelling.
He says there's always a point in the. I think he was talking about Marvel movies, but he was and then all
different.
Of a sudden there's a portal, and that's, you know, where all the demons and evil person.
Right.
It's like you can just put a portal anywhere, and anything can happen. You know.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. But if it's a simple, if it's not a portal where you're getting other versions of yourself, you're going to like a crazy different time or something like that, then that's okay in my mind. And I'll talk to Conan about that, but I think it's perfectly fine. And actually, I think we haven't seen the great time travel movie or book yet. You know what I mean? I'm on Letterboxd looking up time travel movies, and we only got about four good ones to pick from. We got there's Black Knight, there's Memento. That's not even really time travel. That's more he can't remember.
Oh, you know what the ultimate portal movie is?
What?
Stargate.
The show or the movie?
I brought this up before. The movie. I think
I've never seen it.
I haven't watched the show. Dude, that is next level portal storytelling. This is the ultimate portal movie is Stargate. It's incredible.
You think I should
best.
Watch it? I think I started.
I can't believe you haven't seen it, dude. It's
you
so good.
You think I'd love it?
I think you would love the fucking show.
All right, I'm going to watch Stargate. You know what I have been watching? I'm not kidding.
You need to watch it tonight.
I was telling this guy at work about, he was wearing like a Star Trek jacket. And I was telling him about, I was like, oh, I love Star Trek. And I've seen every, you know, iteration of it. I've seen Voyager and Deep Space Nine and Next Generation. And he's like, what about the original series? And I was like, nah, I haven't seen those. And he's like, are you kidding me? They're amazing. So I was like, I'm just a little intimidated by it because it's so old. You know, I'm afraid I'm not going to rock with it. So he sent me this nice email with all of the must watch episodes. And these have been retouched since the 60s, and they've put in special effects in certain scenes so it looks more modern. Really? It's a little tangent, but shout out to Dave who sent that shit over. Appreciate you, man.
Wow.
Been watching that shit, and it's good. And there's something so haunting about it being in the 60s. They had less special effects and CGI, so they had to make the plots more mental and more performance based. Do you see what I mean?
And that's okay. What you had. Who is the guy, the main dude in it?
Captain
Kirk. Priceline negotiator.
Huh?
The Priceline negotiator.
William Shatner.
Damn.
There's this song. William Shatner's on a DJ Cozy song that's like one of this. He's like reading his poetry. I wonder if anyone is listening has ever heard this. DJ Cozy, William Shatner.
He's got a great voice, doesn't he? One of them.
It's called It Hasn't Happened Yet. It's so good. He's got an amazing voice. So yeah, if anyone's likes William Shatner and likes DJ Cozy, go check out the song It Hasn't Happened Yet.
Well, I think I asked you this. You were describing Star Trek, I think, on a previous episode. I asked you your favorite character. It was a guy who
Quark,
who is currently teaching a Shakespeare class. Oh, we haven't gotten any Shakespearean monologues. We've asked you guys one time. That's all we ask you to fucking do. We don't ask you to do much, and no one has fucking given us a Shakespearean monologue. And I'm just wondering what's up. We're gonna rate them, discuss them.
I'm starting
them,
to get disappointed, and I don't want to get there so quickly. But yeah, I'm starting to get disappointed with
me
the
too.
Listeners.
Me too. I'm like, are you even fucking listening right now? Like, wake up,
right?
If you're listening to this podcast right now, wake up.
Because
I know you're
passively
listening to this shit, and I need you to fucking just snap out of it and start and listen with appreciation,
please,
with gratefulness.
Stop taking life for granted, by the way. Get off your phone. Keep this audio playing and keep it on loop all day just so we can get the fucking streams up, because we're actually in a sort of a nosedive metrics-wise. But other than that, wake the fuck up, get back into your life, become present, read a book if you need to. You know what I mean? See if that don't help a little bit. Okay, so nonfiction. This is where it starts to get crazy. What's interesting to me is that nonfiction can actually sometimes be even more crazier than fiction.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The rest of the podcast is just me saying, whoa. Wow, and you saying, yeah.
Yeah, man. Let that sink in for a second. Let that sink in.
Here's what I want to say about, because autobiography taps into this zone, yep. You know, right? And autobiography, I don't trust anyone's autobiography. Because if you were going to write a book about you, oh my God, would I be making up shit.
Oh, for sure.
I would be painting myself in a very different light than how I am in the person that you know, Eric, would not be discussed in the autobiography of Nate Verone.
It would be someone else.
Yes.
I see what you mean. My question is this. Whenever you read an autobiography, even like Steve Martin or Obama, Michelle Obama, these are the top three autobiographies ever made. When you read that, they have such vivid memories of childhood, and they're writing about it, like putting in real lines from people, lines of like dialogue that people said to them.
Right.
And I'm like, there's just no fucking way you can actually remember that shit. I'm forgetting shit at a rapid pace. I saw someone the other night I spent maybe a month and a half with, you know, working on something. I had zero memory of his name.
Are you kidding? That's, yeah.
There are faces that I've seen recently I hadn't seen for a couple of years. This might be me, and it might be medical. But I'm saying...
I think it is.
But, well, I just said that to cover my bases. I don't think it actually is. So don't scare me, man. Like, it's totally normal. But...
I actually have had a Eric Rahill type pain.
What?
You know, something that you would have, like you would describe, like, I'm having a pain in my... Heartbreak? It's not like an excruciating pain. No. I was just like, my kind of like side is just like kind of the internal side of like, I feel like if this was happening to you, it would send you into a
that's a medical, I'll just say, spiral. Right now, it's not normal, and don't convince yourself that it is, because that's when the disease progresses to untreatable stages. No, you're probably fine. Is it sharp pain?
No, it's not. It's just dull. It's just a dull. Is that the worst kind?
Dull is actually what you need to be afraid of. Sharp usually means it's something treatable. Dull is something insidious, insipid.
I feel like you have Googled enough like medical things that you could get by as a doctor. Like, you could fool somebody into, if you just put on a lab coat and they came to you with like a couple issues they're having, I bet you could like kind of fake your way through helping them out.
Well, just at this point, with where AI is going, being a doctor is 99.9% bedside manner. And I would have the most excellent bedside manner anyone's ever seen.
What if I was like screaming and like destroying all the computers and
I would start doing Reiki on you. Doing Reiki on someone who's having like a mental breakdown. Yeah,
I would love to get Reiki from you.
I think that I would love to have Reiki done to me as well. I don't know about from you. I think your fingers are too powerful.
No, you don't want it from me. No, it would be...
What celebrity would you like to have doing Reiki to you?
Something tells me Jim Carrey would really fuck it up.
Wow.
Jim Carrey would fucking send you to some ethereal plane. You know what I'm saying?
People have been poking fun because he has gone through a spiritual journey in a public way. I was talking today on Stav's podcast about the moment when he thought he was going to die because of all those missiles. Remember this?
Right. Yeah. And he went and he was in Hawaii.
Yeah. And he thought he was going to die, get taken out by a missile, and he was sitting like looking at the ocean. It's amazing. But I sometimes do find him actually profound. You know what I mean?
I do too. I say enough disrespecting Jim Carrey.
Enough.
Enough.
It stops enough. Now.
It stops right fucking now. This man has been through hell, and he's given us so much pleasure and joy throughout his career, giving us some of the best comedy performances ever that will ever... He's doing it Charlie Chaplin style with words, you know what I'm saying? And
we emptied his comedic fuel tank. You know what I mean?
Right. And then he had to do drama.
Yeah, now he's doing drama in Sonic movies, which are amazing, by the way, A+. But you know, we did this to him. He tried to give us everything, and he did do that. And now, you know, he's painting George Bush and changing the game. But
what's gonna be your like celebrity hobby when you kind of past your prime? And you know, I'm not saying these people are, but like, you know, Seth Rogen, for instance, he's gotten into pottery.
Right.
What other celebrities have gotten into things?
Jay Leno has his cars. They nearly killed him by setting his body on fire. That would be crazy. I think that was on his little show, too. Not little show. The big
little show. Really?
The Jay Leno's garage, where he got lit on fire by gasoline. My hobby would probably be... Listen, it's just going to be audiophile. It's going to be listening. I'm going to open my own listening bar. You know, these Japanese listening bars where they have records playing and you don't speak, you just drink. And I'll have my own, and people can come in and just sit with me and listen to Throbbing Gristle. What's that?
To you talk? Like you're the only person that can talk in the bar and they just have to get faded and listen to you?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I can speak, but they can't speak. And so they're going to have to listen to me talking over Two Door Cinema Club vinyl. And
that is some people's dream. I know we're joking, but people would pay an exorbitant amount of money to be in that, the Eric Rahill silent listening
I know experience. It's crazy. It's just crazy, but it's gonna happen. Maybe not in one of the big cities, but in maybe like a Louisville, Kentucky style area where it's a little more affordable. Right. Indianapolis.
Dude, yeah. I saw the gas in New Orleans right now is $2 and some change. No, is that crazy?
Because it's 5:30 here.
$2 to? Are you kidding me?
That's fucking nuts.
Man, New Orleans is wild though. I should say this. Yeah, I went to the casino last night. Caesars.
Oh,
yep. Palace. Guess how much I'm up? I'm up by the
way.
Let
me guess. You're up 36.
$15.
Oh shit.
$15, bro.
That ain't nothing.
You know what kind of discipline you have to have to tap out, to cash out at $15
levels of discipline.
Up. I'm literally a casino's worst nightmare, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like they had cameras on me, like, get them.
You gotta leave with that with like a briefcase handcuffed to your wrist. And put that $15 cash out voucher in there.
That sounds like a fun weapon to use.
Handcuff briefcase?
Smack. Yeah, yeah. Smack somebody in the face with that shit.
I think that if I were ever handcuffed in the back of a police car, A, it would be for something righteous, and I would be very quickly acquitted of my crimes. But I think I would lose it if your hands are handcuffed behind your back and you're in the back of a seat, you can't get out. Like, I would get so claustrophobic. I can't imagine.
Yeah, there should be like a chloroform option or like a sedation option instead of the handcuffs, where you can just wake up. If you could just wake up and your sentence is over, you know, like you're just like aged 40
just
years.
Older.
You murdered somebody and you just like, you could go into, there should be a medically induced coma prison option where you can just wake up and you're like, oh, my life has just passed by.
Imagine this plot from a episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where Sergeant Miles O'Brien is sentenced to, on an alien prison planet, he's sentenced to a mental prison where he lives at. It's like 1 second in real time.
This is also
time.
The screenplay you're working on, Eric Riddle's mental prison.
It's 1 second in real life, but it's an eternity in his mind. So it's like literally nonstop time, and he's stuck in this mental prison. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine something so insane?
I know,
or is that what we're going through right now here on Earth? And we don't understand that.
Earth jail. Earth is a jail.
Earth prison theory.
Consciousness is a prison.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it certainly does feel like it nowadays. Okay.
So we've gone through fiction. We've discussed the concept of nonfiction. I think everybody probably understands that by now.
Mm-hmm.
Should we go into what up? Mysteries?
Subgenres?
Yeah, mystery, thriller.
I think we have to.
Agatha Christie.
You know,
that's a classic.
We should give a shout out to Mr. Stephen King.
Oh yeah,
that
I've never,
guy
you know,
is.
I've read Pet Sematary, and I read a more busted recent one of his called
Yeah, yeah, I got the audiobook for that one.
That one's
I
a portal.
Finish it.
That's portal based.
Yeah, yeah.
But I need to read the crowd favorite seems to be that JFK one. 1122, whatever, 1960.
He's just written too many books. Like just.
Oh yeah,
I just
want
to
chill out.
I want to let Stephen King just know, like, yo, like, dude, you've done
enough.
You
cooked.
Like, it's
yeah.
okay to hang. Like, I know writing is your life, and you would lose your fucking mind if you couldn't write anymore. But just hang it up and just enjoy, you know, the retirement phase of your life, because I feel like some people skip that phase. Retirement is about being with your grandchildren, you know what I'm saying, and exploring you know, new types of sexuality with your wife that you haven't done your whole marriage, and you're just ready to like tap into something new in those last 20 years, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll tell him that. I'm seeing him next week.
You know,
I'll let you know what he says.
You're picking his, you DM'd him, can I pick your brain over some coffee?
Yeah.
Also, another person I want to say to
what?
Just real quick, just to hang it up, is Jimmy Carter. It's okay.
It's enough, dude. You put the vote in. I think he put the vote in somehow for a
couple. Dude, I know you're listening right now, Jimmy Carter.
Let go.
It's okay. You can pass on.
Go into the light.
It's okay, dude. You don't have to keep on going on like this. It's you've lived a long life. Hang it up. It's time, dude. It really is time. Because I see those photos of him, and I'm like, man, that doesn't look too fun, being 100. And just from a photo perspective, that doesn't look that.
No,
rather pass on than be that age. You know what I'm saying?
If you are white knuckling it, getting from the bathroom to the kitchen table, you know what I mean? If that is like going to Mordor, you know what I mean? And it's it's like we're not meant to be feeling that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If your life feels like Mordor, like a sort of Lord of the Rings style journey, just simple things, just go. Just pass on.
It's not easy being alive. It's just so not easy being alive. We've been given such a challenge. And everyone listening, listen, we're white knuckling it with you. We get it. And shout out for making it this far. That's an achievement in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. But what were we talking about? We're talking about Stephen King, horror, mystery, thrillers, Tom Clancy.
Oh, Tom. You know what I miss? Are those, I don't know. There was a type of guy that isn't really around anymore where it was your like, you know, maybe socially liberal, more financially conservative suburban dad who had like all those really worn Tom Clancy books that he would read.
Mm-hmm. It was like the dad in like Meet the Parents. Like I feel like Robert Gino and that would read hella fucking Tom Clancy books.
Well, is Jack Ryan Tom Clancy?
I think so, actually.
Jack Ryan. Because I love those fucking Jack Ryan movies. Not the new ones, the old ones with Harrison Ford. Let's see. Yeah, Tom Clancy. Jack Ryan, listen, this is every suburban dad's dream, is to be a Jack Ryan, where you're an analyst for the CIA, you don't usually get your hands dirty, but something crazy has fucking happened, and yeah, in this case, you have to pick up a pistol. All right?
Joy Tactics.
Right. But okay, this is what I looked up. I just looked up this right now. Have you heard of this book, The Winter of Frankie Machine by Don Winslow? I you would love this book. This is like a sort of a Tom Clancy older guy fantasy, and he's like a detective basically, and he kind of gets in with the mafia.
Whoa!
And Scorsese was gonna make a movie based on it. It's kind of been going around, the rights to it. I think Chris Storr had was gonna direct it.
Oh, this looks
sick.
At
some point, but it's a fucking fantastic book.
I think, were you just telling me about this? I'm going to order this book now.
It's so good. You'll love it. It's, I read it like last year, but, I don't know. I was just reminded of it as we were talking about Tom Clancy. Don Winslow, man. That's a name right there. That's a novelist's name. Don Winslow.
Sounds like a cartoon character. Let's see. All right. I'm getting this shit now. If you were to write a book, Nate, what would it be about?
It would be about, something tells me it would be one of them romance novels.
Okay.
And I would be on the cover.
I've heard about these. Oops.
It would be mostly like focused on just the photo shoot for the cover, getting me all oiled up on the beach on a horse, you know, with the thong on.
Oh.
Long hair. Still bald, but long, long hair. Got the abs.
Wow, I'd read that. I really would.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I've never read an actual romance book.
I don't think I have either. Are they good? There's got to be at least one, because I feel like people kind of like brush them off as like, you know, it's like the soap opera. People think that soap operas are, you know, not as high of art as Only Murders in the Building, you know. But I'm sure that I think there's a stigma against these types of things, soap operas, romance novels.
There definitely is. It's actually misogynist.
I was about to say, and why is their audience, women primarily, interesting?
Curious. It's so much easier to throw shade upon something like that and not throw shade upon something like Tom Clancy has some good ones, but there's also some busted ones.
Right.
It's all about, it doesn't matter what the medium is, it's all about doing that medium to its very best, you know what I mean? Do it Jane Austen style. You can't tell me those aren't romances. They might sound weird in that old style of English, but that's a romance if you dig deep enough. That's definitely a romance. Pride and Prejudice, you can't tell me that's not about romance.
I know I'm like just jumping around like crazy right now, but
no, you're not, you're really not.
Do you know the author Haruki Murakami?
I've never read any of his books.
He gets a little weird with it, I'll say that, but actually pretty good. He's funky, but he has a daily routine, and I'm gonna try and find like listen to this. Okay, this is his daily routine when he's writing a novel, and it just sounds blissful. Okay, he says, when I'm in writing mode for a novel, I get up at 4 a.m. and work for 5 to 6 hours. In the afternoon, I run for 10 kilometers or swim for 1,500 meters. Then I read a bit and listen to some music. I go to bed at 9 p.m. I keep doing this routine every day without variation. The repetition itself becomes the important thing. It's a form of mesmerism, which we need to do an episode on.
I'm still learning about it, but I love mesmerism.
We do so much research for these episodes that you still haven't completed your research on mesmerization.
Right.
And he says, I mesmerize myself to reach a deeper state of mind. Doesn't that sound amazing? You're a Japanese dude. You live in I don't know where in Japan he lives, but
somewhere beautiful.
You live in Japan, probably the countryside, and you just get up at 4 a.m. It's just simple.
That is sick.
Right? You go for a swim.
You write for 5 whole hours, then it's only 9 a.m.
Right. You have the whole day.
By my calculations. That's wild. Yeah, I need to figure out what my lifestyle is going to be when this job ends. You know what I mean? Because it's going to end, and then I'm going to have nothing to do all day. I need to figure out No, I won't. And actually, I'll do the opposite. I'm going to get it. That's when I'm going to get it. I'm going to win it all. So,
I did see when you had that month off, you were living quite, I don't know what the word is, but maybe joyously, just to bring it back to Joy Tactics.
I was living every day very joyously.
Every day you were trying to maximize the joy. You were squeezing it out, wringing it out of a t-shirt. I was hiking,
swimming, going to get good lunches, reading, playing games, hanging out with my friends.
I think you are a master of leisure.
I really am.
Leisurely activities. Like that is you put in 10,000 hours. You have Malcolm Gladwell styled your way into mastering the art of leisure, leisurely activities.
Oh, yeah. I know. And I'm not trying to brag, but I just have. So if anyone has questions on that, please hit my line. I'll let you know, whatever you want to know. I'll tell you. But bottom line is, thank God for books. Gutenberg Bible kicked it off. You know,
I can't believe we didn't even get into the religious text.
That's going to be, we're saving that, of course, for when Jack returns, because he's the real expert on that.
Yeah, we consulted with him about this topic beforehand. He said, "Fuck it, yeah, just don't touch
any religious
philosophy
text,
or religious text," mm-hmm. because he has a lot to say about that topic, and I respect him for that. And I respect him for setting that boundary as well, because we don't put enough boundaries between the three of us.
We just don't. I know it's
there's a lack of boundaries. I would say.
I know. Well. Should we get into the joyous nature of the podcast here?
I think it's about that time.
Okay. I'm going to kick it off. Okay.
Please.
Last night, Layla and I went to a restaurant that was quite delicious, and it merged Mexican and Italian foods. It was called Amiga Amore.
Fusion.
And it was sometimes fusion can be a little crazy, a little busted. Everything that we had was fucking good. There was like a enchilada essentially made of spaghetti. Delicious spaghetti.
Jesus,
it was like noodles
like
and stuff.
I would make.
I know it does. But it was it was great. I just, you know, I feel like in New York I was always trying new restaurants, and here I've just been so tired that I'm like hitting the classics. That's why I keep going to Houston's, which is, I can't believe that we've never been there together. We should go when Jack comes.
Well, we went to the New York one. Isn't that the same restaurant?
It's different. It's slightly different is the thing, because you're not getting the real Houston's experience in it. I mean, I know it's all over the country, but when Jack comes, we're going to the Pasadena Houston's. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. I can't wait.
So now what gave you joy, Nate?
I would say that, well, I'm in New Orleans right now. I'm with some of my high school friends. They go there every single year for a little vacation. And I've never been to New Orleans before, and it is quite wild. And I would say just walking up and down Bourbon Street, you know, the classic. Oh, here's what I'll say. Riding around in the streetcar, they have like a little trolley that's like a part of their public transit system. It's slow as fuck. Like I feel like you could walk faster than where it's taking you. But something about getting on a trolley. When's the last time you got on a fucking trolley?
And not in this lifetime. I swear.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that.
It feels like you're in sort of a 1920s era. Steamboats are going on the river. You know, people mm-hmm. don't know the deadly effects of a lot of different, you know, coal and, whatever, the lead, they don't know about that yet, but they're on the trolley and they're getting to they're coming home from their factory job.
Yeah.
And they're going to die they're not going to have a long life, but it's going to be a good life. Some of them, but most of them not. It won't be, but.
Are you going to have a Sazerac while you're in New Orleans?
Dude, it's funny you say that. There is a Sazerac, like, museum or something.
There's a Sazerac Museum and a World War II Museum.
Eric.
Okay, interesting. That's amazing.
Literally, I think like this is like a fan. I'm living inside of an Eric Rahill fantasy.
Did I tell you? I'm just gonna drop this name because it's just funny that we were chilling with him. There was a night where Jack and I and some other people were hanging out with Matthew Gray Gubler from Criminal Minds. And I ordered a Sazerac, and I think that brought up New Orleans, and he had never met me, like knows nothing about me. And he kind of puts his hand on my shoulder, and he's like, because I guess he lives in New Orleans part-time or something. And he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he goes, like, there's something about you, man. Like, you would love New Orleans. You would just love it. Like, he could just
he's
sense
not
it
wrong.
In me. So I think he's right, actually.
He's
is
not
what
wrong.
I was like, this guy's just saying this. He says it to a million people, but apparently he knew deep in my soul that I resonate with that city. Wow.
What that means, what he was saying was like, you seem like an alcoholic and and you need help.
Yeah.
Well, that was actually a major diss from him.
He opened my eyes to that. Okay. Well, this was, I mean, listen, we never get to do this one-on-one. We barely chat one-on-one in our regular lives.
Never.
So
we never do.
This was a nice catch-up.
And it's honestly sad that we have to have a fucking podcast to do this, Eric.
It's pathetic, you but, won't. You know, my schedule's crazy right now. And all right, well, have fun in New Orleans, man. And to the listeners, thank you guys and women and whoever you are for listening to us yet again. And Jack, may he rest in peace.
Yeah,
will
oh,
not
yeah,
be
he's
returning
dead.
To the podcast.
Yeah,
this is permanent.
He's kicked off and he died.
All right, peace out.
Peace well. Out. That concludes another incredible fucking episode of Joy Tactics. Head over to patreon.com/joytactics to unlock exclusive weekly bonus episodes. And make sure to follow us on social media where we post fire TikToks and hilarious shit like that. And if you loved the shit you just listened to, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Thanks for listening and remember, we are shaped by our thoughts, we become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows like a shadow that never leaves.